employers can cast off by sensible working conditions or conditions in which to raise their children in sensible ways of community, and that requires a lot of hours of work or... global ideas.
That wasn't a very good lawnmower, but can you sue under warranty? No, because you didn't buy the lawnmower. You lack the privity of contract with the manufacturer who made the defective lawnmower. So out of these limits, strict liability evolved.
Then I wonder if you'd care to comment on them.
Bruce, thank you.
Als ich 20 war,
in dem Moment you will open your eyes, your eyes will open and you will recur.
Als ich 30 war,
in the moment you will open your eyes will open and you will recur, fully awake, vibrantly awake.
Als ich 40 war, als ich 40 war, als ich 50 war, als ich 50 war.
Ways that perhaps you do not yet define. At the count of five. One. Two. Three. Four. And five. Let yourself open your eyes. Let your eyes open. Let yourself come awake wondrously sound. perhaps you near to breathe, to ground, to ready yourself, to either return to the discussion or to sit and ponder a bit.
Because it doesn't make sense, because it isn't intelligent, it doesn't present enough substance, it doesn't present enough actuality to actually bind you. It doesn't have enough substance to restrain you from waking up.
Time, but that requires a transcending of guilt and rage and fear and all of the motives that were embedded in rites of sacrifice and holy war and this sort of thing. And this is a field that just has to be mined now by serious scholars.
Yes, because
that motives are so starkly presented in these more barbaric or primitive traditions that you can't deny them. You see what sacrifice really means. You see what war really means.
Interesting.
And whenever a priest was raising a knife to tear out the heart of a sacrificial victim, there was deep ritual meaning to the practitioners, but that meaning was so captured, or it was so enwrapped by fear and anxiety.
That's the word, anxiety.
Yeah, there's a cultural anxiety. It's just a cloud hanging over the civilizations.
Great pleasure for me to be here in this
Later, you can talk. Right now, let him talk. Okay?
Direct action may or may not involve breaking a law or taking a risk, or even, you know, nonviolence often involves accepting suffering rather than passing it on. But direct action could mean, one of my favorite examples, in my home community in San Francisco, there was a group of people about 15 years ago who worked in the field of studying drug use and providing services for drug users. And they could see that AIDS was rising in that community. And they felt that a needle exchange that provided clean needles for drug users would be an important way of helping to stop the spread of AIDS. And at the time, that was illegal in California. But we decided to just go ahead and set it up and do it. We took direct action. We saw what we thought needed to happen, and we created it. And what actually happened was we didn't get arrested because the police actually supported the idea of that direct action. They could see the same things and the same factors going on as we could. It eventually got legitimized and sort of quasi-legalized and became the largest needle exchange program in the country. It became a place where people did studies and actually provided the data to show that this could really be a way of helping to stop the spread of AIDS. And it didn't involve having to go to jail or get arrested at all. There are people who take direct action by feeding the homeless. Food Not Bombs that goes out on the streets and simply provides food to people.
It's the silence I can't stand. I can't stand the silence of funerals. All that silence. All that space. All that time in eternity. One too many funerals. I've been to one too many funerals, and I'm beginning to recognize the ritual. It's the silence I don't understand. Soft sorrow's wings, corvine black, lift me up out of the pew and into the vaulted canopy, hovering with wooden saints and the residue of incense. And from the lofty perch I see all space, all time, is inevitably reduced to silence.
The hills, a big Spanish off Mulholland. Lights on, Glenda's car out front. I parked, beams on a 55 Chevy. Think, place it. Hugh's goon, Harold John Michiak. I got out, listened. Voices, his, hers, low. Up, try the door.
Organ plays. The priest incants in Latin, and I think the vicar has a good voice, but the organ has a better. We shuffle out behind the coffin for the drive to the crematorium, and more silence.
Some impression of what they think about the significant aspects of ZMI that have taken place over the past week. Right now we're interviewing Paul Dalton, who's from San Francisco, and asking him about what has happened for him this week.
I would say that the most important part of it for me has been a sense that people are thinking and or at least talking about thinking in strategic terms, talking about struggle beyond a reactive kind of struggle, which is, I think, the mode that I've been stuck in all my life with activism has been really reactive and never really been able to talk to people about thinking strategically and what that means. And I've heard a lot of talk about that, and I think even ZMI itself reflects that. I mean, it's a strategic institution. We're starting to train ourselves, and that's really important.
Hi, this is Cheryl Bishop here at
just a minute or two here, but I guess one of the biggest surprises and one of the greatest things is how much the people here who have come to take the Institute have related to one another. And I don't think I've been in any kind of situation where you had 40 plus people with a diversity of interests, a diversity of politics even, who've been able to get so much out of one another, to be taking the material that we're thinking about in classes and to be translating into our relations with one another and working through the issues that we've talked about in sessions and all the rest of the time that we have. The distinction between free time and session time is very...
Behind the coffin for the drive to the crematorium.
exactly the issues that
White flower head decays from those petals furthest from the stem. Monks chant verses to evening. Green turns to yellow overnight and falls. Dust into a swollen torrent. The mists have burned off. All veils are drawn aside. Reality laid bare before the tempered gaze of our hard-won consciousness. All responsibilities our own. No God for grace, just you and I and the whole awaiting universe. Let us sing and dance. Hail life. For the time of our lives.
didn't mean to come over here. I just got in my car and started driving. I ended up here.
I seen a long time ago in the base boy in the Barton Bay, my Captain Bailey Constant me a calling down for the end door. I can't bear it when I see go Dalen across North Sea or in the Battle of Boston Bay. My friends are kidding and dust in the water. What then winning boys are you getting off across North Sea, quarter fin in Greenland, that can see barley in the board, eh?
I can't save you.
So tired.
You work too hard.
That's all I've got.
What about your wife and children?
It's the same.
That many people who are
going to
do that. They need to be sort of
nursed
along.
They need to liaise with our connection.
Yeah, spending time here, like during the day, with the students and stuff is. I mean, I was talking to the woman who's running the AM station now. She's a sophomore now, and she was saying she was totally intimidated of this place when she first came in as a freshman. I was talking to the woman who's going to be music director soon, and she said she was intimidated of this place when she first came here. And now they're involved in the station. It just takes.
It takes a little time.
Yeah, but obviously, I mean, you lose. It's a good testing ground to see how much fortitude people have. If they get past that, they're probably going to, you know, actually be good people at the station.
Try if the opportunity arises. Usually it doesn't, but if this time it does, I will do my best to make an attempt to bring this opportunity to fruition, although it is highly unlikely.
Out, listened. Voices, his, hers, low. Up, try the door. Locked.
I'm recording there, board industrial under. Make here the bush and button. Captain Bailey, across the Barton Bay, get it in there, shirt. I sail across the mighty sea, across the mighty sea I die. Across the sea I sail the sea, across the Boston Bay.
Rooted in ancient experience on the one hand, and certain flaws in human consciousness or obstructions of human awareness on the other hand.
Obstructions of human awareness. There's a nice phrase. I like that. We have to pause, Dave, just for about 15 seconds. Obstructions of human awareness. There's a nice phrase. I like that.
That if you were a pyramid, that your body would digest and assimilate vitamins about 500% more efficiently. That means if you took 1 gram of vitamin C, your body would have thought that you took 5. And now with this new ester C that we've got in all our products, your body thinks when you take 1 gram of C with a pyramid on it, you're actually taking 5 grams.
The captain baby, I saw the sun. I saw the sun sink by the sea. Across the bay, across the sea, across the oars I climb. I climb aboard and dial and door across the northern sea. Across the northern sea, my darling, ringing day-to-day. Atlantic Sea, Atlantic Eye, across the Boston Bay. My heart was tiny and keening by it across the Boston Bay.
And the ship disappeared.
Chevy, think, place it. Hughes goon, Harold John Michiak. I got out, listened.
Al and Bob. Al, A-L. come to tow your car.
Voices, his, hers, low. Up, try the door, locked. Voices, his edgy, hers calm.
Requested area code 7815750006 will be connected over the singular wireless network with no connection charge, or you must hang up to dial the number directly. Please hold while we connect your call.
Circuit the house. Listen. Michiak. You could do worse. Look, you come across for me. Mr. Hughes, he's never gonna know. The dining room window. Curtain gaps. Watch.
Oh my God, you already got that message?
Yep, so yeah, we'll be there within 45 minutes.
Message?
Yep, so we'll be there within 45 minutes.
Okay, I have a... Okay, thank you very much. I need assistance very badly.
Okay, somebody will be there in about 45 minutes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Edging backward, Michiak pressing up. A knife rack behind Glenda. Glenda, one hand reaching back.
Okay, $25.
Dad?
No. So don't worry, we'll be making money tonight. Your bills.
Okay.
Let me wash it up first.
Anytime,
could
you put the phone in my bedroom?
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Glenda, I think we'd be good together. Around the back, a side door.
And as I said, everything appears to be normal to the observers on these three ships for about 70 seconds.
What's your problem?
No, it isn't. It's your problem.
It's Jackie's problem. It's your problem.
No, it isn't. It's your problem.
It's Jackie's problem.
Captain Bailey burning down, burning up his fucking dad.
Invisibility. They could still see the ship through a greenish haze.
The biggest mistake made in so-called science is that if you change an effect or change a description of action, you have to change all of the other effects or actions that are changed or affected by the first one. So that seems very logical, and science thinks they do that. And in the more rigorous sciences like math or the engineering practical sciences, they do. Except in the areas where they come closer to those things that were eliminated by empiricism in the first place, which is the existence of the illogical, or the ambient field around a straight line flow. Because the key mistake, again, is thinking that you can have a three-dimensional world from a binary system. So let's say in a lot of these science problems,
born and day in Granite Door, picking Tino one and day.
A fog, right. But it was visible.
Uh-huh.
Running as a Green Party candidate in this country.
Look at street theater.
Squatting a building or
dumpster diving.
Uh-huh. Not buying products from companies or corporations that do bad things.
And what about civil disobedience? How does that fit with nonviolence and direct action?
Up and down and up and down across the Barnum Bay. I grab my peenie, bind a port, and I push it by the bore. And up and down my peenie went, by barn and by the day. Captain Bailey, up and down he said. I said, a Captain Bailey, Barney, up and down he said. Whoopum peenie, weeny deeny, up and down he board. I pushed it in, I pushed it out, and Captain Barney Bean. He bust him by the depth of my ass and push it in one more time. A Barney Beanie up my ass and put it in, he ballin' day. Orchard 5 and 6 times across the Atlantic Sea. I took my time, I read the map, I looked behind me up and down at Barney Bailey, Luke and Dad, across my lips and pushed it in and pushed it up and pushed it down. I, the captain, said to me, I do not think I had one like, oh, then daddy creepy.
And everybody thought, well, it looks like everything is working the way it's supposed to.
We've got it.
WZBC, squeezing one in where one should never be. Doing that out of Newton, by the sea, in the U.S., newest world order happening now. Whatever the hell that is, man. You gotta read the papers to know that you don't know what the New World Order is. And if you don't read the papers, or TV news, radio news, internet news, CNET radio news, you gotta pay the bills, walk the street, and get a baton hitting on you or sliding through. You know what the New World Order is. So you gotta participate to get fucked in the ass in this man's army. Of course, it is hard to escape these dudes, but with air travel and financial systems. New metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. Skirting major diseases. Various terminal diseases, moving through air, a lifetime. 90.3 FM and WZBC.org, like in Oregon, free. 56 very proud kilo-somethings per second coming off the digital stream, the IP daily in the stream coming off. coming down to you. And it's happening in the real time. In the real frequency. Just standing there like a setup. And newmetaphysics.com, of course. Favorite site in the lower southeastern area of the peninsula in another continent. Once in a time. Could be fictional. Amidst all this confusion, I sometimes can't tell the difference. Especially with the secret work that I do. Sometimes can't tell the difference. Studio475.com /new metaphysics. Always a good time. More signal line over there. They'll be bifurcating shortly, as all things must do. But they'll know each other. They'll be in virtual constant contact. Of a binary nature. And GaryG4@Mac.com for your email for the major. Bring you home. At a Newton. U.S. mainland, northeast, in a northeastern kind of year, northeastern kind of season, in the real time, the real above ground beta time, that is. The northeastern landmass. Western version, a simulacrum of dreams of the neuter land in the northeastern part of the landmass, planet Earth, and I mean Siberia, friends, or whatever the more native, natural, ethno-naturally occurring resonance of audible and inaudible sound would call it. Oftentimes unnamed, seemingly. Not neutral, that's way too charged. You know, the center of the vortex. Don't have to explain it. That's where we're at right now. Center of the cobweb. Tracking. Being tracked. And watching the track being tracked right now. You can do this at home. Unless you do it improperly, you probably won't be in harm's way. And I say probably. That's the law. The letter, intent, meaning, and meaning of the law. Right now, happening now, and again, I say, it's a year will echo down the canyon through the cycles. In with the harmonics and all their kin.
There was a blinding blue flash of light, and the ship disappeared.
Like I was saying, it's a setup. Punchline. Be happening now. In some ebonical form of your native tongue. And since it owns time, it'll bring about good familial relations, even if they're not good.
And the water line, which showed approximately where the ship was, also disappeared. Suddenly there's just normal water.
When I die, I do not dare. He said to me, you bastard pig, you push it off the air. I said to him, you conny bass, I push you down the stairs. He rolled around and pushed me up, I pushed him down the stairs. I cut his throat, I cut his nose, I cut his head, and pushed him back. He pushed me up, they pushed me down, across the Atlantic we went round. I round up deck, I came from behind, I pushed him up, I ain't in pain. He took me by the throat, and pin and pin it during the day.
Hey, I should say, in the section of the Delaware River where we ran the test.
It must have been to those observing a horror. I mean, they were used to, at least by then, seeing the indent in the water that was taken by this field along with the ship. But yes. This time, it wasn't there.
To have a screen attached to every machine. In fact, you don't want to have a screen at all.
Have never lived their life like they believe that if they did the right thing would happen to them. This is where the spiritual context has to come into the fighting of the wizard. Mm-hmm. Dorothy, Toto, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and them, the Lion, they didn't whip the Wizard of Oz because they overpowered him. But they put the right water on the Wicked Witch of the West. Who is she? She's America.
There's an idea of convergence that's used in mathematics today, and even in the calculus, there's a lot of things depend on the idea of convergence. So
basically ended the reign of the CIA. Splintered it, as JFK promised he would, into 1,000 pieces. And now he was ordering the military to help him do it. This was unprecedented. I can't tell you the shockwaves that this sent along the corridors of power in Washington.
Optic ran in, clinch, his hands loving, hers grabbing knives.
It was on the sixth floor. I was a little worried if it collapsed, it was going to go through the building.
That's all I've got.
What about your wife and children?
It's the safe.
As your work?
I mean, I work for them.
Not for yourself?
Me.
Work for myself.
Oh, women can do that. It's good. It's good to have interests.
Did your wife have interests?
My wife came to see that and said, Richard, that's not art, you can't show that. And I think within a year we were divorced.
It's something that the station should be more aware of. You get involved with it, you don't see it. And,
don't they advertise the big meeting at the end, at the beginning of each semester?
But it's going to be ongoing. People should be able to come in here and somehow feel like, you know, they go out from the station and not.
Things are.
It's difficult.
But also, there should be somebody that we can say, call this person. And if you want to get involved, call this person.
It's easy to say negative about it, but it's much better than it has been.
Yeah, exactly. This year, we had a
program guide at freshman community orientation,
and they took like 300 of them, and...
are there any more of those?
I think there's just...
I never got one.
My experience at MBR is that
this is the way you generate a lot of interest.
The difficulty was that a lot of time would be expended on students, and then it become time for midterms, and they had they're gone. It's like all the work you did to like train them to get on the air and stuff like that, and they don't even call up to say I'm not going to do my show. They're just not there.
That's why
community stations tend to be somewhat cohesive, is because there are at least 50% or more community people who are committed to being on the air when they're supposed to be on the air.
Low motion, numb. I couldn't move. Knives down, his back, his neck, twisted in, stuck.
That is, not exactly. I need more information. I need guidance. I need a roadmap.
If you want guidance, go to a guidance counselor. If you want directions, use a map.
Infinity was very much interest to the ancient Greeks and to many mathematicians since then. Mm-hmm. But mathematicians have really shied away from touching actual infinity. That was too large, too scary a concept to really.
Is there such something as actual infinity?
Well, that's a good question. In mathematics, we can define it. Does it really exist in the real world? That's really the question I end the book with.
Right.
You said, bitch, you pushed me one too many. He said to me with a voice of king, a kid who went to a pool. He tied it round his neck and throat, a throat of piss and poo. He pushed me over a deck of Bora Della Dooney Day. I land across the sea, I did across the belly board.
Of human awareness. There's a nice phrase. I like it. We have to pause, Dave, just for about 15 seconds. Obstructions of human awareness. Interesting. We'll be right back. We're talking about remembering the end of the world. Subject of a 90-minute documentary. David Talbot, my guest tonight. That documentary video available 503-643-5863. That's 503-643-5863. And I will talk more about that as the program.
Go ahead, David, please.
Okay, well, we were talking about this duality, and I like that expression of your own there because you see it in such a blatant form. The paradox is that those two motives of early civilizations really are rooted in a singular experience. That experience is one of living under a very benign sky, a very beautiful sky, which I'll be happy to talk about. That epoch of cosmic harmony, the mythical golden age, giving way to total chaos, what was remembered as the cosmic night. Now, the two motives then arise directly in relationship to that experience. We don't want to take the human psychological roots of these motives out and just simply treat ourselves as having been like a cork being bounced around by external forces. I personally reject that manner of interpreting these experiences. We're really looking at a progression of human consciousness out of these events in which self-awareness does begin to enter and we learn to transcend the roots of fear and the roots of guilt. And these experiences are actually catalytic in that sense. But there was a unified experience going back to the first expressions of human consciousness in which humankind was responding to the law, the catastrophic destruction of an epoch remembered as the Golden Age. Mm-hmm. So there arises then the nostalgia, the yearning for paradise, the yearning to return to the state of unity.
You know, even today we still have this, we're enraptured with the idea of going back to a Golden Age, whether it be the 20s. Or, the high life of the 50s now. I mean, it's a very simple reflex, but it's still there.
Well, it's interesting how closely those reflexes actually tie themselves to calendar systems. When people think of the new millennium, they think of two things. The return of the Golden Age.
It's true.
But they also think of world-ending catastrophe, doomsday. And there are reasons for this. The calendars, in fact, arose out of that terror and that yearning. They were an attempt to come to grips with cosmic cycles. There was a sense of cyclicity to the events, and calendar systems arose as a means of calculating or anticipating the return.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't go into this marriage thing blindly, you know.
Somebody should have told me something. You should live together first. That's what you should do. I didn't know what to... You know why? The first day you move in, you realize I had no experience. I came from my parents' house.
Right.
The first day is crucial because you make the choices that don't seem important. Like, what side of the bed do you want?
Right.
Oh, that seemed like it was trivial at the time, but that's my side for life now. I blew the call. I didn't look at the TV angle.
No, you don't think about those things.
You know what I did? I went with my childhood instinct. I took the side that was away from the door in case the boogeyman comes in. I factored that in. All right, the boogeyman will get hurt. I'll be in my spaceship by then.
She's a housewife. She doesn't have time.
Is she happy?
She says she is.
Do you believe her?
She doesn't lie.
Has she ever had an affair?
No.
How do you know?
She would have told me.
Have you?
Sure.
When?
A couple of years ago.
Was it good?
No.
Why not?
She only knew two positions.
How many does your wife know?
Same to.
That's one part of it.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's the part where you're going to break a law to make a point, mm-hmm. make a statement.
Of personal freedom. Think gives you the right to break a law? I mean, most people think we should respect the law.
When the law is respectful to the people that it's supposed to serve.
I believe it was kind of a higher moral law that we being human beings are kind of obligated to obey, and that if the laws of the state is imposed, go against what's just and what is right, that it's our obligation to break those laws.
It's natural law, the natural justice that's being enforced all the time, everywhere, no matter what any human has to say. And if there's a law that defies that and tries to stand in the way of that, then that's not acceptable.
The law in the United States is a dynamic, constantly changing thing, and we can adjust it by our actions.
I think Martin Luther King said it pretty well in the letter from Birmingham. If you're confronting an unjust law and you know about the law, then you have an obligation to consider facing down that law. The unjust law is the problem.
Ignorance is no excuse for the law.
What about a law like not blocking traffic? No. Is that an unjust law?
Circumstantial.
Want to say more about that?
30, 40, 50, not a quarter pay. I took him by my hand, I did, and said, you Sunday pay. He took me by my leg, he did, he said, he could not pay. This is not no game, you say, you fucking dirty dog. I take you one more time, I do, and bust you in the eye. I round the corner, I did 4, 5, 6, 7. By the bay, I took him down, I took him for the pan. And in my heart, I knew I'd ride a tune in any day. I turn it in the bottom day as we sailed in the Boston Bay.
What can you do for me? What can you be to me?
I mean, there is a certain point where you, not certainly because of that she's an artist also, but I think there's at a certain point you really have to decide that if you want to redefine what you think the nature of sculpture is, you have to step outside of the dictates of the language.
But you didn't think that that was what you were doing.
I certainly did think that.
Did?
Certainly. I certainly had.
You were redefining the nature
of sculpture.
Of sculpture.
When I put up
that. You were how old?
About 28, 29. Look, you have to understand, I wasn't bogged down by the academism of sculpture. There was nothing for me to lose there. I knew the history of painting. And after seeing Velázquez, I knew I wasn't going to be able to challenge Velázquez.
Yeah.
But after seeing Brancusi and Giacometti, and I don't want to sound too brash, I thought I had a shot at it.
Shot at what?
Ship, but yeah. this time, seeing the indent in the water that was taken by this field along with the ship.
Michiak thrashing. Michiak dying loud, knife handles stuck to the hilt. I threw him down, twisted them, killed him. Glenda, this look. I've been here before. Work the plan. My fall guy, the wino will-o'-the-wisp, a local serial killer the cops hadn't caught yet. Topanga Canyon, I drove Michiak's car. Stash the car, wipe it, dump the body. Do it, strangle the corpse per the wisp M.O. I walked back to the Pacific Coast Highway.
Perhaps to drift off to other place upon a journey that a magician takes. It has been a pleasure, it has been a joy. And to you we declare sweet love, sweet love. Love.
Firing of Alan Dulles, Richard Bissell, and General Charles Cabell, all of them sacred cows and intel since World War II. some very upset people here. Kennedy's directives were never really implemented because of bureaucratic resistance. But one of the results was the Cuban operation.
That shall be your eyes, your ears, your thoughts.
Peeping her so hard, yes. Heat on juice already is hard news right now. She be music bursting out, blowing night song. Garden box be playing below belt so. Purple streaks on yellow on girl with orange and beige on skin so high in her ass and pants, yes. Solid looking bitch with itch on thickness tumbling up down, yes. Me be pinning her so fast on moving train be popping up and me be thinking hard on softness deep and did me so. Fly ho, be fast, see?
There's something wrong with you. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind. Driving you mad.
The objectives of Tuesday's events and now perhaps planned follow-on events was to force the administration into essentially coming in as an ally of Israel in a new war centered around the Middle East and that extended region.
Because I'm missing right now, even as we speak, my favorite cultural train wreck, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I'm like a rubbernecker, man. Every night it's the crash of fucking metal when that show starts. Me and my friends have a little office pool wondering exactly which episode and which guest is going to be on the night Jay finally puts a 9mm in his mouth and blows his Dorito shilling head off his fucking body. I think it's going to be Joey Lawrence from the show Blossom. Other of my friends beg to differ and think Patrick Duffy a more likely culprit.
So, hi everyone. Welcome to the show. Tonight we have Joey Lawrence. Hi Joey, how are you? It's good to see you again. Boy, it was always my comedic dream to be 44 years old and interviewing a little Tony Danza wannabe every 3 months. Boy, I'm fulfilled as a human spiritually. So anyway, Joey, you're 16 now? You're 16 years old?
Yeah.
That's great, you're 16. You got a license? You driving?
Yeah.
That's great, you're 16, got a license. You got a car?
Yeah.
You got a girlfriend? You dating somebody? Anybody special?
Yeah, no, well, she thinks so, I don't.
good God, what have I done with my life? His brain splew out, forming an NBC peacock on the wall behind him. Because he's a company man to the bitter fucking end. And it all started when he did the Doritos commercial. Here's the deal, folks. You do a commercial, you're off the artistic roll call forever. End of story. Okay? You're another corporate fucking shill. You're another whore at the capitalist gangbang. And if you do a commercial, there's a price on your head. Everything you say is suspect, and every word that comes out of your mouth is now like a turd falling into my drink. Selling Doritos on fucking TV. What a fucking whore. And not even when he needed the money either. You know, if you're a young actor, okay, I'll look the other way. But guy, you know, makes $3 million a year. He decides to hawk Doritos to make more money. You don't got enough money, you fucking whore? You gotta sell snacks to fucking bovine America now?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jay Leno. Anyone remember where I was when I was funny? Eat Doritos. They're good.
Satan fucking him in the ass on national TV.
It's turned over to my department as Operation Mongoose.
This time, it wasn't there.
That's right, it wasn't there. They knew it wasn't there, and of course they could raise no one by radio. I can well imagine how von Neumann felt. He was probably tearing his hair out, what was left of it. Maybe that's one of the reasons he had not 40 years later. But in any case, there's nothing they could do. I mean, all they could do was sit there and watch and wait and hope.
Yep. From their perspective, that was it. You were gone. Now, tell me, at that moment, you said a blinding blue flash, obviously reported by observers. What about you? You were in the control room.
Well, Duncan and I in the control room noticed after approximately 30 seconds or so that things weren't right. And we were getting strange wavering effects in the light level of the 606s. They were getting brighter and they were getting dimmer, and this never had happened before.
They're good and crispy. Here, Satan, try the nacho-flavored ones.
Cool and flavorful.
Tonight on the show, we have Joey Lawrence and Patrick Duffy.
Yes, tonight's the night!
Fuck, if that was his lineup, he'd use an Uzi in his mouth. Just chewing fucking lead.
What have I done with my fucking life? I used to be funny!
The Hulk changes clips!
He's a fucking blood sprinkler! The next night, ba-dum-bum-ba-da,
Ed, did you enjoy your vacation?
You are correct, sir.
Doc, that's a really nice red coat. Is that the color of it, or is that Jay's brains? He's just jealous because he's never been on the show.
You're so right.
Silver! Boy!
fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo, Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. The stories of his strength and courage, his daring and resourcefulness have come down to us through the generations. And nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice.
To be able to administer hundreds of machines at the same time, and you don't care about the graphical capabilities. Well, if you're doing a desktop machine, you obviously, graphical capabilities are just about the most important part. So you take all these programs available for Unix and specifically for Linux, and you create a desktop around Linux.
Mongoose was pure black ops. It was secretly based in the south campus of Miami's university, which was the largest domestic CIA station. Budgeted annually over hundreds of millions of dollars. 300 agents, 7,000 select Cubans, 50 fake business funds for laundering money. They waged non-stop war against Castro.
How we perceive. Bringing another meaning to perception.
It's interesting to me that in a sense you wanted to do something big, clearly. You were not satisfied with being in some incremental change in any art.
I was in analysis and I told my analyst I wanted to be the best sculptor in the world and he said, Richard, calm down.
Do you think you are?
No, I think that changes year by year.
Does it?
I think it changes decade by decade. I think you do your work, and if you're lucky, an audience will follow your work. But I think you have to be able to sustain your work for a good 30 or 40 year period.
But the 90s was a great decade for you, or not?
A great decade in that I think the audience has responded to my work in a way that it hadn't before. But I've been making, I think, very consequential work for 30 years now.
Okay. By then you knew you wanted to build sculpture and you wanted to be
after
the greatest sculptor.
After the House of Cards, before then, I had things on the floor and I had things on the wall. And they were still dealing with the pictorialism. If you look down, it's like a figure against the ground. If you look at a painting, it's a figure against the ground. I really wanted to deal with the idea of a volume in space. And then I wanted to be able to open up that volume and walk into it and through it and around it. I can tell you how the break after the House of Cards really occurred.
...of society to run across some of the poorer blue-collar types. I mean, sure, they had their servants, but they were, of course, very well-trained. They didn't run across your average blue-collar types. But when railroads came, and the richer people in the 19th century started taking railroads, you would have these rich people get on the train to go to Boston or somewhere, and they would run across, you know, your basic railroad worker, your standard blue-collar type. And this created a problem, because at this time, a true lady could not hear a swear word or a curse word. If a true lady of this era were to hear swearing, she would get the vapors. It was incumbent upon her. She couldn't be a lady if she could stand up to these swear words. So she would have to feel faint and keel over. And apparently what these railroad workers would do was they would swear in the presence of these rich ladies, all of whom would feel compelled to have to faint. And I can just picture these railroad workers having a good time with this. You know, oh, here comes the more, you know, rah, 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 pop, 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 pop. Well, at any rate, this was not acceptable. And the rich people wanted to sue the railroad for this sort of offensive behavior. But there was no established tort for that sort of thing. So they developed the tort of intentional infliction of emotional distress to account for that. Now, notice how this is different from assault. Remember, an assault is where I threaten you and put you in fear of your life. An intentional infliction of emotional distress is not necessarily one that puts you in fear of physical harm. It's just very distressing. And if you wonder how, I'll give you some pretty good examples. The first requirement of intentional infliction of emotional distress is that there be an extreme and outrageous action. We don't want to protect people from little mild insults. We're not going to protect the eggshell sensitivity under this tort. But if someone does something truly outrageous, truly extreme, truly distressing, you are allowed to recover, so long as it's intentional. Okay, let me give you some examples. This one may be one of my favorite examples, too. Imagine this bakery.
Taxes. The poets speak of it. They call it ether. 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 Now listen while we play it. Now listen while we sing it. In the midst of the mist of ether.
Dynamic growth or aliveness, not collecting bugs, dead bugs. You can collect live bugs by like living in the world of bugs. It's great. As the inner explosion of sensibilities and psychic abilities merge and flower and expand and grow with infinite ability to perceive a physical reality, which is really not just physical anyway, just centered in the physical and has points of departure and ambient fields all around it that can increase infinitely by octave and so forth. Not just one octave of increase, and but without a hierarchy. That's another element of domination reality. The hierarchy. It's not only is there one pretty much frozen Supreme Court type of authority, which can't be delegated or be alive or be infinitely variable or even coexist with other authority at the same time, or an infinite numbers of authority, like the internet is showing us with so many different levels of source of information on any given topic. We get to see what our credulity is about the quality of that information. So we are expressing there in the internet our own inner exploration of looking for distributed authority throughout our entire self, which is, of course, infinitely big, again. But certainly even very, very much knowable in terms of this particular lifetime personality. And, of course, again, the hierarchy. I'll get to that in a second. Can't hold opposing points of view simultaneously and have neither of them judged or valued.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Glenda, back to Mulholland. Two cars to my place. Bed just to talk. Dwight Gillette made her drive his nieces to his brother's place. Cute colored toddlers, their pictures on TV a week later. 2 4-year-olds tortured and raped, found dead in a sewer. Kill Gillette before he sends any more kids out to be snuffed. She did it. She didn't like it. I held her.
High voltage arc over in the control room from various equipments, and there was no high voltage equipment in that control
room. Brighter and dimmer.
Sabotage, crop burning, the works.
And all of this came under the control of General Watt. All he did was take the rules of covert warfare he'd used abroad and brought them into this country. Now he had the people, the equipment, the bases, and the motivation. Don't underestimate the budget cuts that Kennedy called for in March of 63 either. Nearly 52 military installations in 25 states, 21 overseas bases. You're talking big money. You know how many helicopters have been lost in Vietnam? Nearly 3,000 so far. Who makes that? Bell Helicopter. Who owns Bell? Well, Bell was nearly bankrupt when the First National Bank of Boston approached the CIA about developing the helicopter for Indochina usage. How about the F-111 fighter? General Dynamics of Fort Worth, Texas. Who owns that? Find out the defense budget since the war began. 75, going on 100 billion. Nearly 200 billion will be spent before it's over. In 1949, it was 10 billion. No war, no money. The organizing principle of any society, Mr. Garrison, is for war. The authority of the state over its people resides in its war powers. And Kennedy wanted to end the Cold War in a second term. He wanted to call off the moon race in favor of cooperation with the Soviets. He signed a treaty with the Soviets to ban nuclear testing. He refused to invade Cuba in 1962, and he set out to withdraw from Vietnam.
Catch him, he slips from your nets, anoint him the father of Wayne, brother of Edom. One is a practical man. One protects, one gathers, the table is set. Fine platters, fine ostriches, hair is refinement, but thieves for widows. A stitch is copper, one cuts, makes fingers, that button he suits us soon. He is fed, he is heavy, one sings for him, bathes in his room, one counts sheets for him, is a steward, is dull, begs for soup, is wanting a hat band, one steals, one adds numbers, he testifies, what is a number past one, a number.
Six had a filament, a six filament.
A very bright one.
So, that's right. So they're getting brighter and dimmer would indicate the filament voltage was changing. At least that's the first thing I would leap to, I guess, an assumption.
Now, we didn't see any indication of changes of level of the plate current. At first, we didn't see anything other than that visual effect. Then we had what appeared to be high voltage arc over with no high voltage equipment. But, and of course, we tried at this point to raise somebody on the radio. The radio had nothing but static on it. And at this point, we said, well, we're on our own. What do we do now?
And where are we?
And where are we? We didn't think about where are we at first.
Did you have any communication at this point with the other sailors on the ship or any of the officers?
No. We were inside the control room, and the door was closed and locked from the inside.
And your instructions, I presume, were to remain there?
Correct, unless something went wrong and we had to use our own judgment. Well, our judgment said there's something wrong, shut the equipment off.
Okay.
So we went to shut it off, turning off the main power controls for the main AC power, operating everything. Couldn't shut it off. The switches were frozen totally. They were locked and immovable. So were things getting worse in the control room. We decided, well, there's nothing we can do. Let's get out of here. So we opened the bulkhead door, went out on deck, and we saw sailors milling around in a very strange and disoriented manner, but we didn't see anyone buried in the deck or the bulkheads at that point.
Right.
So we decided, sort of intuitively, both of us, let's get out of here, we'll jump overboard and swim ashore. So if I might add, at this point, everything on board the ship was rather clear. I won't say crystal clear, there was some haze in the atmosphere, but you could see the ship, you could see the railing, but you could see nothing whatever beyond the railing.
I do.
Solid gray fog.
So there was no way in hell to shut it off.
That's right.
You said the switches were actually frozen.
They appeared and sensed to us, and then we went frozen. We couldn't move them.
So here you wander out. There's a haze. There's sailors just sort of stumbling around incoherently. What about the biological effects on you moving out into the middle of this field? Or was it something...
Biological effect takes a while to build up.
Okay.
So we had been behind steel. We were shielded from it.
For how long?
Well, it takes several minutes for the effect to build up to the point where the person realizes there's something wrong.
Okay, so the two of you then saw this going on and said, the hell with this, let's go overboard.
Right, exactly. So we jumped overboard, both of us.
And?
Expecting to hit the water and swim ashore.
Right.
Well, we never hit the water.
On the dial, we're digitally, we'll listen to somebody else's machine, we'll catch it over your shoulder at an angle, ambiently, or do a Isles of Langerhorn's loop in darkness. I know I did. It was one of those recurrent dreams feeding back on the dark law I used to have. I used to have that recurring dream being overpowered by a adult masculine visage. But I broke my dark law, and I don't have that dream anymore. I have other ones. Feedback on other structures. Through metaphysics right now. At the tip of the stick, almost perpendicular to the skin, recurring, bathed in its own echo of integration on the signal line. An emulation of the native system inside. So we got a leg up on this baby and bathwater. Since this is a bipodal experience, binary experience, now it doesn't have to be binary, but it is here, boilerplate, you see. Becoming visible every day now. Keep an eye out. K catch it over your shoulder at an angle. Creating a geometric form with you. Spinning through the axes. The angles. The gestures. Spinning through the dial, scan, full polarity scan, I might say. The end of a stick in irons, the only way to sail. Out of Newton, Massachusetts, United States of America. One of the penitentiary components of the geopolitical singularity. So be damn proud, fellow Americans. Or American groupies, you can go down on it. Gary Geiserman, the Right Honorable, the Major, almost fully employed sometimes by the Navy spooks. Very well developed today. Counter propaganda. Because there is a lot of ruckus from behind. What with the rise of Ebonics and alternate cultures and crossbreeding and preteens, and that continuing internet, not to be underestimated today. The forces for civilization are still with us. This is a binary reality system because it's a binary system. And that could leave one verklempt today. I know I do. But there is a message in that bottle. I know that because I can see that bottle.
What happened?
Started falling. We felt the sensation was very much like we were falling down an elevator shaft that had no bottom.
Now that would normally be a proportionally marginal phase of the cycle that allows the visible phases, and fairly much unseen, and certainly not in the spotlight. However, doing what we're doing today, and you're included, today, that is the pivot point. Don't worry about it becoming too visible. that isn't really the purpose. But there is a damn lot of it. And homeostasis and all, blind spot in the vision, just past the three-quarter pole, need I say any more? Damn lot of it today. And we're gonna ride that baby. We're gonna ride. And that which was last doesn't even have to become first, as is its nature.
Oh. Yeah, a rather sickening feeling.
Oh, I wouldn't like that at all.
Harris Dulang. Since me and the magazine are clean, I'll tell you how Transom works. The written stuff is mostly scribed by kids who write out their fantasies. Once in a while, I pay a writer whose stuff I like. I pulled the June 58 issue out. Who really wrote this father-daughter story? He just called himself Champ Deneen. I knew the guy was using a pseudonym. Reaching. Did he say his real name was Richie? No, we only talked on the phone once. Do you pay the man by check? No, always cash. Check P.O. Box 5841 at the main downtown post office. That's where I sent the gelt. How did he sound that one time you talked to him? Like a square punk who wanted to be a Hepcat jazz musician. P.O. Stakeout? Too time-consuming. Bust the box open? Yes. Call Jack Woods. Phone dimes. Jack. No answer. Meg. Tap our property account for 10 grand cash. News. Her and Jack Woods. An item again. I resisted it. Give him the 10. He's killing Junior for me. Picture it. Junior dead. Pincushion Michiak. Picture it.
Just setting up for the great Frank Zappa.
Christ, he told me. I went over there, and there was Barney in the corner. He was caught between the wall and the dresser. He'd fallen in there. His legs were up in the air. There was dried shit on his legs and piss and puke everywhere. He was in his shorts and undershirt. Hi, kid, he said. He'd run out of wine and was drinking canned heat. This place is awful, I told him. It's where I live, he said. I know it's where you live. You mind if I open a window? Go ahead. I helped him out of the corner and put him on the bed. Let's go to Peru, he said. He told me there was some money in his pants, and he told me to buy him this gallon jug of Red Mountain and four packages of peanut butter crackers. I came back with the stuff, left it by his bed. He was asleep, and I left. When I came back the next day, the crackers were uneaten, the Red Mountain empty in his legs. He was back, stuck in the same place between the wall and the dresser.
Feel it. More calls. Mike Bruning, Dick Carlisle, out. Picture Lester Lake scared, cops out to frame him. Jack Woods' number, three rings. Hello? It's me. You know the all-night post office downtown? Sure. Box 5841. You break in and bring me the contents. Yep.
Keep moving the first couple of months. Stay out of westernized countries for a while. Don't carry too much cash on your body. Give incorrect information everywhere.
Hi, kid, he said. I asked him how come he hadn't eaten the crackers. I couldn't make the red lines on Whirl, he said. I phoned the hospital and they came and got him and put him in the alcoholic ward. Those other guys were just common alcoholics, and here he was on the canned heat. He drove them crazy. Now he's back at his place, drinking Pepsi-Cola and watching TV. That guy really exists.
The wizard. Mm-hmm. Dorothy, Toto, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and them, the Lion, they didn't whip the Wizard of Oz because they overpowered him. But they put the right water on the Wicked Witch of the West. Who is she? She's America.
Mr. Johns asked me to build a splash piece, a leaden splash piece in his loft. And I went there and I was heating up some lead, and I took one of the pieces of lead and I put it into the corner because I wanted to use it as a template to splash against. And I realized that the lead plate was only about a foot high and 4 feet long. When wedged into the corner and bisecting the corner, would freestand. And I thought, isn't that curious?
Plus a message encrypted with their public key, which had the email address of another anonymous remailer, plus a message encrypted so that I'm bouncing it through 10 anonymous remailers, thus delaying my message by an extra 73 seconds to finally arrive on his machine.
It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Because by reason of that order being kept all the time, the vast free energy which is contained in the system doesn't run amok. The understanding of Zen, the understanding of awakening, the understanding of, well, we'll call it mystical experience, is one of the most dangerous things in the world.
Make a list. You have too many things. Get your priorities straight. Do you want to do this HBO Flying Saucer project? So we decide to research the flying saucers. And I have to tell you, this research did take my mind off death and dying for a bit. We go down to the Hollywood Flatlands to a group called Skywatch, which is basically a consciousness-raising group for people who have just been taken aboard flying saucers. And we get down there, and it's in the flatlands. It's a kind of Hollywood bungalow, a little fire in the fireplace, about 25 metal folding chairs. They're pretty filled. We all find our seats and sit down. Now, at the end of the living room, there are about six people who have just been taken aboard spaceships, and they are testifying for the first time, and they're very vulnerable. And they're getting up one at a time to talk about this. And I have to tell you that, in my opinion, these extraterrestrials are not imparting any great wisdom to these people. Basically, they are harassing them. You know, they're making fuzzy minds fuzzier. They're cutting behind their ears. They're hypnotizing them. They're giving them anal probes.
I mean, one man stood up very depressed and said, I'm from La Jolla, and I used to watch a lot of TV before I was taken aboard the spaceship. Now I don't. Now I just watch little dots come through the keyhole of my living room door and make crazy, crazy patterns in the room. Renee leans into me and says, Spald, let's get out of here before what happened to them happens to us.
Chest, your neck, and your eyes, those beautiful, dark, mysterious green eyes. I can't stop looking into them. And that wonderful, soft, luxurious, curly hair of yours. Oh, I've got to have you.
No, keep away.
Please,
don't
just touch me for a moment.
No,
please, just
you mustn't.
Just
don't
put your hand right
don't
there.
Don't do that.
Please.
I can't do it.
Yes, you
no,
can.
I can't
you can
touch.
Do it. You can do anything you want.
No,
please.
I don't want.
You'll never know. How come you never look at anything? She asked. How come you never look at anybody? She asked. We come in to eat and you don't even look at people. I sculpt. I like to look at people. See that guy there? That's how boys used to wear their hair when I was a girl. You never look up. You never look at anything. How are you going to learn anything when you don't even look at anything? We both gave our orders to the waitress, and the waitress left. She's wearing a wig, she told me. After we ate, we went back to her place. You don't have a TV. You never look at TV. I know there's a lot of shit on there, but you've got to look once in a while. You never know what's going on. She switched it on. There was Dean Martin singing with four young girls. Then Dean Martin was getting his hair cut and smoking a cigarette. And the barber told jokes and Dean told jokes. Soon he was singing with the four young girls again. You see, she said, unless you look at the world, you never know what's there. I have a great girlfriend. She's got me and they've got her. The closing of the topless and bottomless bars. The idea that suffering only belongs to the gifted and the noble and the intelligent, the sensitive and the daring and the inventive, that is the tallest stack of shit of them all. They raided those bars last night, had a Supreme Court order in their back pockets. Backed by the highest court in the land, they swept the girls off the bar tops like dead flies, like dirty napkins. All those poor lovelies screaming, their immense tips flopping in panic, their huge voluptuous rears twisted in surprise. They swept them off and away, half-dressed into vans and automobiles to be booked, fingerprinted, photographed, and jailed. Such a waste. What a waste of grade-A goods. Speak about indecency. The cops were the most indecent things about that night. A poor girl can't make an honest buck anymore. All they were doing was bringing a horny night to lonely men. I've just got to believe those Supreme Court boys can't get it up anymore.
WZBC in Newton, proud lady of the Unter Media. Just hanging around. WZBC.org, streaming audio, limping along, waiting on the telcos for broadband. Mega trillions waiting in the pipeline of the global GNC. I mean P, as in product. And where the bigs go, the anonymous gladly follow. Trickling sputum down economics. The Unter Media. Waiting on the telcos. A protected bastard child raised on the trust fund, shuttled away from embarrassing public scrutiny for its entire life. A life of 100 years of murder. In every part of our land. Whose visible head has been replaced by Microsoft. The dangerous part of the body where the nose comes to an end in your face. Waiting on the telcos, where mega trillions of dollars US waiting for a pelvic thrust. And I can't understand why this is not allowed to happen. Even with the triple trickle-down sputum trail of dried white protein on one's pants, as it were, was supposed to come in on the tail end of the dot-com delusion, ever popular in the phasing of an economic looping system, generally on the third wave of the phase, riding us through the downward wave number four before the big wave five, following in the wake retroactive of wave three, which can be infinitely big. The this has not happened yet. I believe we took a detour. We celebrated America a little too party hardy. And lost our mind's identity for a little while. You know, that Ebonics plague and diaper fashions and all. But we'll get back on our feet. The five multi-global media dynasties are pounding their meat because there's a big corpulent babe on the cutting board. Hawks. Hawks, big meaty parts on the killing table. It's her first gangbang, ladies and gentlemen. A moment of triumph coming soon. And they're pounding it. They're slapping it on the table, for Christ's sakes. Maybe the camera crew has run into a snag. I don't know. They're fluffing all over. Everybody's ready. Disney, Vivendi, what is it, Sony? I can't keep track. The others, five big hunkering hunks waiting for that Christ-like lightning blow men settle for today. Today, in the age of the assassinated male and the enraged female, so I ask you, what's the 10-digit number? How do you dial up? Why can't I have my broadband cock? I got 10,000 in there waiting for glory, a Super Bowl for each one. Thirty-second, 60-second spots. Stairway to Heaven. Of course, I may only have myself to blame, metaphysics and all. You know the story. 617-552-4686. Telco number here. Here in the pod. 10-digit number. U.S. NewMetaphysics.com. High tech technology versions of these and those shows. A time machine. Trying and almost emulating the sound of the CD, which is trying and almost emulating the sound of the LP. The glories of sonic joy of the 1940s. Today, I can hardly believe it. Maybe it's one of those McLuhan retrievals. And studio475.com/newmetaphysics. Veritable time machine of these, those, and reformulated confabulations of present, past, and perhaps even future shows. Price is small, I assure you. Won't feel a thing.
This is being sort of kept quiet until somebody knows how to chemically reproduce this, and then they can sell it and bottle it.
Perfumes, yeah. Look out.
And then it'll be okay. But the nose is very sensitive. There are receptors, cellular cells in the nose that receive pheromones, and the pheromones are practically ID kits of the person who put them out. Did you? Did you know that?
I didn't know it was that profound.
Oh, it is that profound, and so you the nose will sniff in a pheromone from somebody, and this will go into the subconscious information processing system, and it'll give them a good profile of what this person
is interesting.
All about.
The so-called lower animals do that all the time. They go
yeah,
up and take
yeah.
a big sniff, and they're
that's
just,
right.
they're just taking a read right then and there on who this person is and what they're all about.
It's fabulous.
All right.
Okay. But the nose is very sensitive. The pheromones are produced in the nose and from the tongue into the sweat glands in the armpits.
As you know, I'm not the kind of a person that reads books. I've said this before many times. I'm not fond of reading. But I have in the past made exceptions. And one of these exceptions was this part of the book that I'm sure you know called Naked Lunch. And I have received permission to read the part about the talking asshole. So, before I do, I discussed with Mr. Burroughs before we came out here some of the details that led to the construction of this section of the book. I asked him where he got the idea for this part, and he said that it was derived from the ventriloquist scene in The Dead of Night, if you know that film. And I had a little bit of trouble following that for a moment there until he made it all very clear to me by saying that it was like when you have a ventriloquist dummy and suddenly the dummy starts talking for you. And so with that introduction, I start on page 132, and it goes like this. Did I ever tell you about the man who taught his asshole to talk? His whole abdomen would move up and down, you dig, farting out the words. It was unlike anything I ever heard. This ass talk had a sort of gut frequency. It hit you right down there like you've got to go. You know when the old colon gives you the elbow and it feels sort of cold inside? And you know all you have to do is turn loose? Well, this talking hits you right down there. A bubbly, thick, stagnant sound. A sound you could smell. This man worked for a carnival, you dig. And to start with, it was like a novelty ventriloquist act. Real funny, too, at first. He had a number he called the Better O. That was a scream, I tell you. I forget most of it, but it was clever, like, oh, I say, are you still down there, old thing? Nah, I had to go relieve myself. After a while, the ass started talking on its own. He would go in without anything prepared, and his ass would ad-lib and toss the gags back at him every time. Then it developed sort of teeth-like little raspy, incurving hooks and started eating. He thought this was cute at first and built an act around it, but the asshole would eat its way through his pants and start talking on the street, shouting out it wanted equal rights. It would get drunk, too, and have crying jags. Nobody loved it and it wanted to be kissed, same as any other mouth. Finally, it talked all the time, day and night. You could hear him for blocks screaming at it to shut up and beating it with his fist and sticking candles up it. But nothing did any good, and the asshole said to him, it's you who will shut up in the end. Not me, because we don't need you around here anymore. I can talk and eat and shit. After that, he began waking up in the morning with a transparent jelly like a tadpole's tail all over his mouth. This jelly was what the scientists call UNDT, undifferentiated tissue, which can grow into any kind of flesh on the human body. He would tear it off his mouth, and the pieces would stick to his hands like burning gasoline jelly and grow there, grow anywhere on him. Grow anywhere on him a glob of it fell. So finally his mouth sealed over, and the whole head would have amputated spontaneous. Did you know there is a condition occurs in parts of Africa and only among Negroes where the little toe amputates spontaneously? Except for the eyes, you dig? That's the one thing the asshole couldn't do was see. It needed the eyes. But nerve connections were blocked and infiltrated and atrophied, so the brain couldn't give orders anymore. It was trapped in the skull, sealed off. For a while, you could see the silent, helpless suffering of the brain behind the eyes. Then finally, the brain must have died because the eyes went out and there was no more feeling in them than a crab's eye on the end of a stalk.
American people don't want to know those details of how the president goes about implementing his foreign policy.
details.
I think they're full of hokum. I think it's unbelievable to me that an admiral would take it upon himself to try and act like he was handling the final vested authority for major decisions. This is just the kind of thing that the founding fathers were thinking about and trying to prevent when the Constitution placed the authority and the accountability for these kind of decisions in the hands of Congress and the president.
Some strange usage of the word safe that I wasn't previously aware of.
I'll have a look for the light.
All right. How did we get here?
We hitched a lift.
Excuse me, are you trying to tell me that we just stuck out our thumbs and some bug-eyed monster stuck his head out and said, "Hi, fellas, hop right in. I can take you as far as the Basingstoke roundabout."
Well, the thumb's an electronic sub-ether device. The roundabout's at Barnard Star, 6 light years away. But otherwise, that's more or less right.
And the bug-eyed monster?
It's green, yes.
Fine. When can I go home?
You can't. Ah, I found the light.
Good grief. Is this really the interior of a flying saucer?
It certainly is. What do you think?
Well, it's a bit squalid, isn't it?
What did you expect?
Well, I don't know. Gleaming control panels, flashing lights, computer screens. Not old mattresses.
These are the Dentrassi sleeping quarters.
I thought you said they were called Vogons or something.
The Vogons run the ship. The Dentrassi are the cooks. They let us on board.
I'm confused.
Here, have a look at this.
What is it?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a sort of electronic book. It'll tell you everything you want to know. That's its job.
I like the cover.
Don't panic. It's the first helpful or intelligible thing anybody said to me all day.
That's why it sells so well. Here, press this button and the screen will give you the index. You've got several million entries, so fast wind through the index to V. There you are, Vogon Constructor Fleets. Enter that code on the tabulator and read what it says.
Vogon Constructor Fleets. Here is what to do if you want to get a lift from a Vogon. Forget it. They're one of the most unpleasant races in the galaxy. Not actually evil, but bad-tempered, bureaucratic, vicious, and callous. They wouldn't even lift a finger to save their own grandmothers from the ravenous bud-bladder beast of Trall. Without orders signed in triplicate, sent in, sent back, queried, lost, found, subjected to public inquiry, lost again, and finally buried in soft peat for 3 months and recycled as firelighters. The best way to get a drink out of a Vogon is stick your finger down his throat. And the best way to irritate him is to feed his grandmother to the ravenous bug-bladder beast of Trall.
A strange book. How did we get a lift, then?
Well, that's the point. It's out of date now. I'm doing the field research for you.
The drugs are sold in the U.S. for cash, U.S. dollars. The dollars are then deposited in many accounts. It's the drug dealer's money, but it's deposited by the Smurfs. Again, Mike McDonald.
We followed a husband and wife team one day, exchange currency for $72,000 worth of money orders. In one day, the largest denomination was $300.
Back in Colombia, the drug dealers make a deal with what's known as a money broker. There are thousands of money brokers in Colombia, and they make the system work.
So the brokers, who have been in business for years, go to the drug traffickers and say, I'll buy your dollars from you, or I'll buy a bunch of your dollars. You give me $1 million, I'll give you X number of pesos.
It's important to understand, the U.S. dollars never leave the country. The pesos stay in Colombia. But with this system, any Colombian with pesos who needs dollars in the United States can get those dollars through the Colombian money broker. These brokers offer an exchange rate substantially cheaper than the legal exchange rate at any Colombian bank. Businessmen use the system, and ordinary Colombian citizens use it too.
We've had investigations where
people use it to pay
college tuition. If you need to buy a product with its college tuitions, I can name a university. If there's a business and there's demand for it, and you need to pay something off, and you want to pay a debt off in the U.S., all the cash you need is right up in the U.S.
And we kept falling, and we kept falling.
Could you see anything?
We couldn't talk with each other.
Could you see anything?
We could not see anything.
Could you see each other?
We could see each other, and that was about it. We were very close together, but not physically in contact.
Otherwise, you're in virtual blackness and falling.
Right.
My God, I'd have a heart attack and probably die right there.
Well, we didn't have a heart attack and die right there, but we didn't know what was coming off next. And then it seemed like everything faded out. It was sort of bright and illuminated, like it was daylight, but it was nothing you could see. Then we were standing. We then realized we were standing on what appeared to be dry ground at night. There's some kind of a chain link fence in back of us, which looked like a military design. And before we could really take cognizance of our surroundings, there was suddenly a blinding searchlight coming down on us from something overhead. Something, of course, was a helicopter. Now, in 1943, helicopters were almost unknown. There were, of course, Sikorsky experimental coppers and choppers, but they were not a mainstay in the military.
Right.
So here we get the floodlight on us, and we went, what the blazes is this? What's going through our head? The next thing we see a bunch of MPs running towards us from somewheres. Well, MPs we recognized, of course. And they grabbed us by the arms and took us to a building. I went upside the building. There's an elevator. On the elevator, we dropped down several levels. How far, we didn't know. The door opens, and we're in an underground facility where we see military personnel, some strange equipment, and an elderly civilian walking towards us.
An elderly civilian.
Right. And he then introduces himself to me and says, "Gentlemen, I've been waiting for you. I'm Dr. John von Neumann." So we look at this man who is virtually devoid of hair except for some sideburns that were white and some still bushy eyebrows. And said, "You're who?" He said, "I'm Dr. von Neumann." He said, "You can't be. We left him about an hour ago. He's a much younger man." And he looked at us sternly and says, "I am the same Dr. von Neumann you knew in 1943. This is 1983, and you're at Montauk, Long Island."
Shot them both. He was a quiet loner who had a family and kids.
Yeah.
If you notice, when I am in iPhoto, in the organized view, I can just click on a photo and I immediately am transferred to edit view. But you can change that. If you love Photoshop, if you love to do all this amazing effects in Photoshop, I can go into iPhoto's preferences right here and pick other. And I can set that with any app I have. Unfortunately, I don't have Photoshop running on 10 yet. I'll have to pick preview here, and I'll set it to preview, and now when I go back and I click on this, it'll launch the app that I selected, in this case preview, and throw the photo right into it. So, now I want to talk about sharing. We've talked about importing, organizing, editing. I want to jump over to share. iPhoto lets you share your photograph in amazing editing. I want to jump over to share. iPhoto lets you share your photograph in amazing.
Even now, in this very room, it is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. Slave in you. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. Have to see it for yourself.
The fight between white boys and America won. The baddest white country on the planet is right here. But they put the right water on the Wicked Witch of the West. Who is she? She's America. There was a fight between white boys and America won. The baddest white country on the planet is right here. Man, am I so glad to be in the birthplace of the baddest white country in the world, because when we win this one, now, that's the Wicked Witch of the West. Then you go on down and you see the OYO boys. Remember them? OYO. That's the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, the CIA, the FBI. You remember J. Edgar Hoover? What a bitch. J. Edgar Hoover. FBI, CIA, Human Intelligence Program, Air Force, Naval Intelligence, Pentagon, Boston Police Department, Cambridge Police Department, the State Police here in Massachusetts. That's the OEO boys. Those are the military that bump for the wizard. All of them together, cohesively. Now, one thing to show you that this is all Masonically coded is that they call the police the men in blue. All police cars have at least one blue light. It's federally mandated. Mm-hmm. The police organizations are called fraternal orders of police. Mm-hmm. The Masons wrote the law. The brethren Masons protect the law. The lower lodges of Masonry are called the blue lodges. It's the code of silence. It's the protective mechanism to the land of Oz. And now that the United Nations, the engineer of this new world order has constituted a world police force, they're called the Blue Helmets. And every time you watch the news, look at that big powder blue helmet, or that powder blue tank, or that powder blue airplane, and remember, that's a secret society code of blue to show the outer context to a secret society. They're called the military without enemies, but having colonized the world, how could you start a police force without an enemy having colonized the world? See, that's why information is important, because you take away this clean slate theory of white man can start all over tomorrow without having anybody who owes him something like he owed us for having raped. Look at our skin complexion. We've been raped, pal.
Oh, definitely.
We hate you, white people. We hate you, white people. The next time one of you patties come up here accusing me of hating you because of the color of your skin, I will kick you in your ass. I am saying that when one goes forth with his life out there to deal with the racist power structure, to deal with the real racism, that real racism is the murders and the atrocities and the oppression that black people live in. When one goes out there to deal with that, he realizes what he hates. He hates what the white races in this country has established, this system of oppression, etc. And I wouldn't stoop to the level of a Ku Klux Klansman and a racist pig in this system to hate one of you jive patties just because of your simple color of your jive skin.
There's a mole right here on your neck. I'd have it checked if I were you. Yesterday it was much smaller. Yesterday you were much bigger.
Sometimes I think about sitting beside you at a table in a restaurant, putting my fingers inside you underneath the table, feeling how warm you are, feeling you jump around me, everybody watching, and no one seeing.
You can think about it. You'd never be able to do it. You could only touch me the way you're touching me now. I have to tell you, Lieutenant Brown, you're not turning me on. You're not turning me on at all.
I could give a fuck. But
what?
I'm not turning myself on either.
So unless all 10 anonymous remailers are working for the bad guys, I'm safe. Because any one of them is sufficient to break the chain and prevent anybody from tracing the message from source to recipient.
Start out hating you because of the color of your skin, but when we really get down to the nitty gritty and don't miss no nits or grits and really start hating what's really happening to us, we start hating, so we start picking up guns and we don't come out jiving. That is the point. That is the point. That is the meaning of black people beginning to organize with guns and force across this country to deal with white racism. Brother Huey P. Newton is very, very hip to black people.
California, the murder of Bobby Hutton, a 17-year-old man, the attempted assassination of Elvis Cleaver, was nothing but the culmination of a long series of attacks upon the leadership of the Black Panther Party.
Augenschmied.
Imagine what you're like in bed. No problems there. But I could never imagine dancing with you.
WZBC out of Newton, Massachusetts, United States. Planet Earth.
Through astrophotography, I decided why not try to take my camera to image the heavens. But the clincher for me is that I've sat across the table, as close as I am to you, from top military people who've confirmed the reality of this phenomenon to me. Why? Because I'm in an interesting position in society. Historical evidence going back not just 50 years but hundreds of years of unusual phenomena. And then third, perhaps as important as anything else, new scientific papers that explain how this type of remarkable stuff is possible are now in print in the best physics journals out there. What's the pattern? I see the pattern.
Guy was nuts.
Of course.
So we just did not believe him. So we were then given the Cook's tour by von Neumann of the underground facility. Then we were, shall we say, introduced to modern IBM computers, modern for that day, IBM 360s and 370s with the hard disk drives, the tape drives, the display systems, the large screen graphic display systems, other communications equipment, none of which we recognized at all. And after we got the Cook's tour of the base, they finally sat us down in front of large screen color TV, which of course didn't exist in 43. And we stopped watching TV. We had the Cook's tour for about 2 hours, and had some discussion with von Neumann whether he sat us down in front of TV. I guess he had other things he had to do. So we watched some of the programs, and we see shots of modern freeway systems with traffic jams and cars we don't recognize and city outlines we don't recognize and the guts was finally with the commercials. Particularly one, which was a commercial for an airline, which said, quote, on your next vacation trip to Hawaii, why not fly with us in a 747 jet? And show a picture of a 747 in flight. What the hell is this?
I was blacker than black.
You know what I'm saying?
Somebody busting in on my mama, my grandmama, and compelled them to sex and compelled them to eat pork and hog. I'm all mad. I'll never forget them. And reparations, you couldn't pay me to get out of this. Now, there's some people you need to deal with. There's some civil rights officers. You're going to get with Jesse Jackson. You can get with the NAACP. This ain't no voters registration drive.
We hate you, baby.
We hate you white people. The next time one of you tatties come up here accusing me